Welcome to Audit IQ Update for May 20th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational, to sales, and more. Let's get into it. We have a packed week to cover, and I want to start with what is probably the single biggest story in the Magento world this year. On May 12th, Adobe released Magento Open Source 2.4.9 alongside the corresponding Adobe Commerce update. Now, calling this a routine release would be like calling a kitchen renovation a paint job. This is a fundamental platform overhaul, and if you're running a Magento-based store, you need to understand what's changing and what it means for your operations. Let me walk through the headline changes. First, PHP requirements have jumped significantly. PHP 8.4 and 8.5 are now required. PHP 8.2 has been dropped entirely, and PHP 8.3 is only supported as a transitional stepping stone during upgrades. This alone is a big deal because many production Magento stores are still running PHP 8.2 or 8.3 in production. Moving to 8.4 or 8.5 means testing every extension, every custom module, and every integration point against a new runtime. But it doesn't stop there. The default cache backend has changed from Redis to Valky 8. This reflects the broader open source community's movement away from Redis following its license changes, but it also means your caching infrastructure needs to change. OpenSearch 3.x replaces OpenSearch 2.x as the recommended search engine. TinyMCE has been swapped out for Huge RTE as the default rich text editor in the admin panel. And Apache ActiveMQ support has been added for message queue processing. On top of all that, there are over 500 bug fixes covering checkout, catalog, payments, and admin workflows. Now, the timing here is important. Adobe also released Security Bulletin APS B2649 on the same day, which addresses critical, important, and moderate vulnerabilities, including vectors for arbitrary code execution. So, you're not just looking at an optional feature upgrade, there's a security imperative to act. And speaking of the broader Magento ecosystem, the Mage OS community wasn't far behind. On May 13th, just one day after the Magento 2.4.9 release, Mage OS shipped version 2.3.0. This is a maintenance and security release that incorporates the Magento open source 2.4.8 P5 security patches and adds PHP 8.4 and 8.5 compatibility across its add-on modules. For merchants evaluating Mage OS as an alternative distribution, this is a reassuring signal that the community fork is keeping pace with the upstream security cadence. Here's what I want to emphasize about all of this. Major platform upgrades like Magento 2.4.9 are one of the most common triggers for production errors on e-commerce sites. When you're simultaneously changing your PHP runtime, your caching layer, and your search engine, the potential for subtle breakage is enormous. I'm not talking about the site going down entirely, and those failures are obvious and get fixed fast. I'm talking about the checkout form that stops accepting a specific credit card type on mobile. The shipping calculator that returns incorrect rates for international orders. The product filter that silently fails when a customer selects three attributes simultaneously. These are the errors that bleed revenue slowly, and they're almost impossible to catch with pre-launch QA alone because they depend on real user behavior, real devices, and real network conditions. This is exactly why real user monitoring matters so much during upgrade windows. Let me shift gears now to what's happening on the WooCommerce side. On May 19th, the WooCommerce team announced that version 10.8 has been delayed by 1 week. The reason is practical. They want additional time around the WordPress 7.0 release window and need to finish validation on a late landing change. The 10.9 schedule is unaffected. But the more interesting WooCommerce news, in my opinion, is the announcement that variation galleries are being brought into core. This is one of those features that WooCommerce merchants have been requesting for years, and that previously required a third-party plugin. Each product variation will soon be able to showcase its own image gallery natively. This matters for customer experience because showing the correct images for each color, size, or style variant reduces confusion and builds purchase confidence. From a monitoring perspective, it's worth noting that gallery features are historically one of the most common sources of front-end performance issues. Large images, lazy loading failures, layout shifts during image swaps. When this feature lands in core, stores that adopt it will want to watch their core web vitals carefully, particularly CLS and LCP. Now, let me turn to the broader industry conversation, because there were some genuinely significant publications this past week that e-commerce teams should be paying attention to. Smashing Magazine published a piece on May 15th called 10 Data-Backed Truths of User Experience ROI by Carrie Webster. And this is the kind of article I wish I could send to every CFO who's ever pushed back on a performance optimization project. The core argument is that every extra second of friction has a measurable business cost, and the data supporting this is now comprehensive enough to be treated as settled science rather than educated guessing. The numbers that stood out to me include the finding that sites passing all three core web vitals thresholds, that's LCP, INP, and CLS, see 24% lower bounce rates compared to those that fail. Google's research shows that reducing page load time from 3 seconds to 1 second measurably improves conversion rates. And the compounding effect is what makes this so powerful for business cases. Better performance leads to better search rankings, which drives more traffic, which combines with higher conversion to amplify revenue at every step. This dovetails perfectly with the 2026 cart abandonment data, which continues to paint a stark picture of technical friction's cost. Baymard Institute's updated statistics show that 22% of shoppers abandon carts because the checkout process is too long or complicated. Another 18% abandon specifically because checkout was too slow. These aren't people who changed their mind about the product. They wanted to buy. The experience stopped them. On a related front, CSS Tricks published a fascinating deep dive on May 18th about cross-document view transitions. The author Durgesh Pawar writes with real honesty about spending an entire Saturday trying to get cross-document view transitions working, only to discover that half the tutorials on the internet are based on deprecated syntax. The meta tag approach that many developers learned has been replaced by a CSS-based opt-in, and the two different flavors of view transitions, same document versus cross-document, have completely different APIs and mental models that are confusingly conflated in most guides. Why do I bring this up on an e-commerce monitoring podcast? Because cross-document view transitions are potentially a big deal for e-commerce sites built as traditional multi-page applications, which includes most Shopify, Magento, and WooCommerce stores. They enable smooth, app-like page transitions without the complexity of a single-page application architecture. A product listing page can transition seamlessly into a product detail page. It feels faster even when the underlying load time is similar. But the technology is still maturing, cross-browser support isn't complete, and implementation pitfalls are real. It's exactly the kind of progressive enhancement that needs real user data to verify it's actually improving the experience rather than introducing new issues. Or, also from CSS Tricks, published on May 11th, was an article about keyboard users being unable to scroll overflow containers. This is an accessibility issue that affects product comparison tables. Data-heavy specification displays and horizontal scrolling product carousels, all common e-commerce UI patterns. It's a reminder that accessibility issues are performance issues from the user's perspective. A customer who can't navigate your product comparison table with their keyboard has effectively encountered a site error. Let me also touch on the AI in e-commerce angle, because it keeps getting more concrete. Practical e-commerce's new e-commerce tools roundup for May 12th highlighted several new AI-powered tools entering the market, including ShopPlus's Athena, an AI admin agent designed to help merchants manage back-office workflows. And Smashing Magazine's article on Practical Interface Patterns for AI Transparency, published on May 13th, tackled the UX challenge of designing interfaces for AI-driven features. Specifically, why traditional loading patterns like spinners fail when you're dealing with agentic AI workflows that might take variable amounts of time. The trend that ties all of this together is the rise of agentic commerce. Shopify's agentic storefronts, which launched in March and have been expanding through May, now let consumers discover and purchase products directly inside AI platforms like ChatGPT and Perplexity. Shopify even added a dedicated agentic section in the admin panel under sales channels, where merchants can see which queries their products are appearing in. Here's what this means for monitoring. When a human customer hits an error, they might retry or they might refresh the page, or they might come back tomorrow. When an AI agent hits an error, it moves on to a competitor instantly and silently. There's no cart abandonment email you can send to ChatGPT. There's no retargeting ad for Perplexity. The store either works perfectly or it doesn't exist in the agent's world. This raises the bar for site reliability from good enough to flawless. And it makes real-time error detection not just useful, but existential. Shopify also published an interesting piece on their engineering blog about web performance tools for 2026, emphasizing real user data, AI-powered analysis, and programmatic access via GraphQL. Their web performance dashboard now provides RUM-based core Web Vitals data directly in the theme editor, which is a significant step toward making performance data accessible to non-technical merchants. The message from Shopify is clear. Lab data isn't enough. You need to know what real users are experiencing. Finally, I want to connect all of these threads into a broader observation about where e-commerce monitoring is heading. We're seeing a convergence of three forces. First, platform complexity is increasing. Magento 2.4.9 stack overhaul. WooCommerce's expanding core feature set. Shopify's new sales channels. Second, the data connecting user experience to revenue is becoming irrefutable. 24% lower bounce rates, measurable conversion improvements, quantifiable cart abandonment causes. Third, new interaction models like agentic commerce are raising the reliability bar to levels that weren't previously necessary. The net result is that monitoring is no longer a DevOps concern, or it's a revenue concern. The stores that thrive in this environment will be the ones that have real-time visibility into what their customers, human and AI alike, are actually experiencing. Not what a synthetic test says should happen. Not what QA verified last Tuesday. What's happening right now, on every device, in every browser, on every page? That's the problem we built Audit IQ to solve, and this week's news just made that problem more urgent for everyone running an e-commerce site. That's your Audit IQ update for May 20th, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at auditiq.cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.